Praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I'm excited to share the word of the Lord with you today, and I cannot wait to teach you what the Spirit of the Lord gave me for this moment, for this time. I believe it is a right now word, and I pray wherever you are, in your living room, in your kitchen, in your bedroom still, in your car, wherever you are, that the same Spirit of the living God that permeates this atmosphere is going to meet you right where you are, to build you up, to encourage you, to inspire you, to heal you, to deliver you, and to set you free. I cannot wait. We're going to jump into the word of the Lord here in just a few moments. Romans 15 is where we're going to be coming from. So I want to get yourself situated. I want you to get yourself situated. I want you to get yourself, your mindset ready for the word that's going to come forth that I believe is going to propel you forward. Romans, the 15th chapter, we're gonna pick this up right around verse 13. And if you would bear with me for a little while, I'll bring us to where we want to go in this particular text, but I do have to read just a few verses to you to set this whole concept, this whole conversation into its proper context. And so we're going to read down to the 25th verse, and I believe that we're all going to be blessed. So get your Bible, whether you have the old-fashioned version. I have my laptop today up for my Bible. Get your Bible out, whether it's on your phone or whatever device you have it on, or you have the actual book, and join me in Romans, the 15th chapter, and let's pick it up at verse 13, and we'll read down to verse 25. For the sake of your understanding, I'm reading from the English Standard Version because I want every word to matter, as we take up this scripture. Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 13, says this: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." So that the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. "I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by the word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints." Now, I know I've read a lot to you, but I want us to center in and focus on verses 22 through 25. And I want to preach to you right from verse 24. "This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. But at present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. I want to talk to you for the next few moments from the subject titled, The Pattern of Hope. Yes, The Pattern of Hope. Because I believe that this text is going to show us that hope has a pattern. And if it has a pattern, it's going to take you somewhere. It might not take you to your preference, but it will certainly take you to your purpose. And in just a few moments, we're going to jump right into that word. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this opportunity to hear a word from you, to receive a word from you. Our hearts and our minds are open to receive it. The word is the only thing that can separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of the heart. And so, Father, we pray that you speak such a word that it would liberate us from all of our old mindsets, liberate us from all of our fears, liberate us from our anxieties, liberate us from our old and flawed ideologies. Father, liberate us. Liberate us to the point where we are transformed. It's totally something differently, totally something new by the renewings of our minds. As the word comes forth, let it do its surgery. Let it separate soul from spirit and dig down into our hearts to get to the real issue, the real matter, so that we can be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the word coming forth today. And as it comes forth, let it bring its healing power to every area of our lives. As our hearts and minds are open to receive it, we ask for your spirit to come and rest upon this word, to hover over everything that's happening in this moment. We don't need to have to gather in a room for your spirit to come and join us. For the Bible says, if any two or three of us would gather together in your name concerning anything, that you would show up in the midst of us. It never said that we had to gather in a place. It said that we had to gather in your name. And so we come together in your name, Father, to touch and agree over the things that are concerning our lives. And we present them unto you, and we open our hearts and minds for the word to come forth to bring us correction and direction. And Father, to bring us to a better place. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. And wherever you are, go ahead and say amen. I am delighted to share this word today, and I want to start off a little slow, if it's okay, for the sole purpose of bringing us to an understanding of where we are, an understanding of what is happening in this text in Romans 15. I know it might be peculiar for you, for me to be preaching from a text that simply says, I hope to see you when I come to Spain. I know that might be unfamiliar for you to hear me say those words of simply what Paul is stating to the church at Rome, that he hopes to see them when he goes to Spain. But I want to bring into your understanding that Paul never made it to Spain. Paul, in all of his missionary journeys and all of his erratic experiences that the Bible bears out, never made it to the place that he longed to go. For he had longed to go to Spain, but he never made it there. As he told the church at Rome in this letter, he says, but at present I am in Jerusalem. At present, I am in Jerusalem and I'm ministering to the saints. Before we jump into the heart and the meat of this message, can I tell you, whatever you're doing at present is very important and very powerful. It's very important and very powerful, because whatever you're doing at present, whether negative or positive, is going to affect what manifests next in your life. It's going to affect your ability to adapt to what happens next in your life, or be open to adapting to what needs to take place or happens next in your life. And as you begin to understand what Paul is saying, he's saying to them, I want to get to you, but there's been so many hindrances for me to get there. There's been so many barriers for me to get there. But even with all of the barriers Paul bears out in the beginning of this text, you can read it for yourself later in your spare time when you go back to Romans 15. He's bearing out the blessings of being a Christian, the blessings of being filled with the Spirit of God. He's bearing out all of the things that come along with it and the way that we're supposed to govern ourselves and act, even despite all of the setbacks and the disappointments and the barriers that we might face in our lives. And as Paul is bearing all of this out, it is amazing to me that he writes 2/3 of our New Testament. And all of his letters that he has written in the New Testament, they don't amount all the way up to 80 pages, yet and still they have significant and profound impact on the culture today. That there's not a Christian alive who is not familiar with the Pauline work and all that he's done. There's not a believer alive. There's not a non-believer alive. That's not acquainted with Paul. And it's amazing to me as we go through his humble beginnings of his story that he was being prompted to be a elite, if you will, religious figure. He went to the best seminary, and as it bears out in his record, that he was a Jew of Jews. He comes from the right tribe, and he had the right pedagogy, if you will. He had the right pedigree. He had the right, all the right tools to do his job as a persecutor of the church. And on that road, on his way to Damascus, he had an encounter and an experience with God that transformed his life forever. He was knocked off his high horse. And it was at that place that the Lord said to him, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? In other words, he was saying, why are you hurting yourself? Your persecution to the church is hurting you. Because at that time, Paul didn't know that all of his preparation was leading him to a different place. Paul didn't know that all of his preparation, everything that he was gaining in his knowledge and his understanding, was leading him to a different place. Never in a million years would Paul had thought that he would end up where he ended up, but yet and still, he was found in a different place. The same church he persecuted, the same people he had killed, he is now a part of. His life turned on a dime, changed just like that. And in all of what he wanted to do, Paul wanted to have an impact on the church. He wanted to have an impact on his own people. He wanted to have an impact on the Jews, which is why every time he traveled somewhere in his missionary journeys, he would find himself in a synagogue, even though he's telling us right here in Romans 15 that he's an apostle to the Gentiles and that his work, his main work, is to them. Yet and still, wherever he traveled, in Philippi, he went to search for a synagogue and didn't found one, and found a few ladies down by the river praying. And because Philippi was a Roman region occupied by retired Roman soldiers, and so there was not enough Jewish men to constitute a synagogue, to even build one. And so when he got there, he found none, and all he found was a group of women praying by the river. And that's where he would start. Whatever city he would go to, whether it would be Corinth, whether it would be Athens, wherever it was, he wanted to find a synagogue first. And he would go there to start his discussions about this man named Jesus. And then he would move out from that place. And this is why his testimony bears out that he was stoned often and left for dead often and shipwrecked and famined, and all the horrible things that happened to him along the way was because he continued to try to seek his preference way more that he did God's purpose. But yet and still, with all of that, he still got to where God wanted him to be. And here in this text, in this very, very provocative story of him writing to a set of people that he has longed to see and longed to be with and longed to spend time with, he's saying to them, there's been so many barriers for me to get there. There's been so many barriers, so many hindrances for me to get to you. I long to get to you, but there have been so many barriers, so many hindrances. And it is not lost on me that right now, in the beginning of a new year of 2021, we've already seen so many hindrances and barriers to change. So many things that make us cry out for help and long for someone to hear us and long for God to answer our prayer in the moment. But sometimes prayer doesn't work that way. And yet, and still, we're holding on to what we prayed about, hoping that the Lord will show up in our situation and in our circumstance and turn it around. Can God do it? Absolutely. Will he do it? He might. But if it never happens the way we prefer, that does not cancel what he has purposed for our life. Nor does it cancel where you are headed. Can I help you to understand how hope works? Hope is a very powerful thing. It is a powerful tool. And if you can understand how hope works, hope is nothing more than an expectation. It is an expectation. It is a desire that something is going to happen. It is a firm expectation that something is going to take place. If you look up hope in the dictionary, it will tell you that it's a feeling. But the hope that I'm talking about is not the Webster's definition of hope. I am talking about the biblical hope, of which Paul said, not abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. When the Bible speaks of hope, it is way more than just a confident expectation of something that's going to happen. It is trust at its highest. When I talk about hope, I'm talking about trust. When I talk about hope, I'm talking about faith, because hope is the substratum of faith. It is the very basis of it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word hope is very, very powerful. And I want you to begin to understand what hope is from a biblical perspective. It is favorable and confident expectation, not just the aspiration that something would happen, but favorable and confident expectation. In other words, when you have hope, according to what the Bible calls hope, it's basically saying all things are in your favor. I want somebody to understand who's listening to me at this moment in this introductory comments that I'm giving you, that right now, regardless of your position, regardless of your state, regardless of your strata, regardless of your circumstance, you're still in a favorable position. You're still in a favorable position, because hope has to do with the unseen and it has to do with the future. Hope always resides in the place that has not manifested yet. Hope is about the possibility of things. It is about the possibility of things. And as you begin to understand this thing called hope, I want you to understand that hope must be fixed. Hope must be fixed, and it must be fastened, much like faith on an object. In other words, the Bible says in Mark's gospel, have faith in God. Because if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, have no doubt in your heart, and it shall be done. Why? Because the object of your faith is more powerful than the obstacle of your faith. Likewise, the object of your hope is more powerful than the obstacles of your hope. Whatever barriers, whatever hindrances are placed in front of you, still have hope. Because hope is the confident expectation of the favorable circumstance of what has not happened yet. I'm going to say that again. It is the confident expectation, the favorable position. In other words, you are put in a favorable position, which should elicit a confident expectation, even though the desire has not manifested yet, hasn't taken place yet. And the operative word there is yet. I think this is why Job said, yet shall I praise the Lord. It hadn't happened yet, but yet shall I praise him anyhow. Because I am placed, situated, suited. I am positioned in a favorable spot. And I know that God is going to get me there. Wherever there is, I will get there. I might not get there the way that I prefer, but I'm going to get there. I might not get there in the time frame I wanted to get there, but I'm going to get there. I might not get there with the people that I want to get there with, but I am going to get there. You ought to shout. You ought to put it right in the comments. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there because I know God is taking me there, guiding me there, leading me there, directing me there, orchestrating and ordering my steps to get there. I know I'm going to get there. And this is what Paul is telling us. But to get there, your heart has to be filled with hope. To get there, your joy and your peace in believing has to be sound. To get there, you have to know it'll be by the power of the Holy Spirit that causes you to abound, to flourish, and to live in hope, in this confident expectation. Because when the pattern of hope begins, is where you'll discover whether or not you have this favorable position, this confident expectation. Because the pattern of hope always starts with dislocation. Can I talk to you now? Dislocation. Dislocation is when you've been placed out of sorts. Dislocation is where you've been situated in place outside, disturbed from your proper original or usual place. Dislocation sometimes can cause injury or disability or put out of joint, out of socket, your normal position. It is a displacement, if you will, of your structure, of everything that you know. If your shoulder, much like mine did in a high school football game, becomes dislocated, it means it's out of joint. The bone has left the socket, and it's sitting in a place that it wasn't designed for. But what I want you to understand about dislocation is that you might be dislocated, your dream might be dislocated, your timeline might be dislocated, but it's not completely destroyed. It's not broken, it's just out of place. You don't hear what I'm saying. And while I was playing in a high school football game, running option right, linebacker came through unblocked, and he got me. He hit me hard as I pitched the ball, and my shoulder was dislocated, and I limped off the field, and I got to the sideline. And my backup came in, and they worked on my arm and my shoulder on the sideline to figure out what's wrong. And they asked me this question: how much pain are you in? I said, I'm in a lot of pain. I can't move my arm. And they said, it looks like it's out of joint. And then the doctor came over and said, I don't think it's broken. He said, I'm going to snap it back in place. And he started talking to me while he was massaging my shoulder. And while he was talking to me and while I was talking back, he snapped my shoulder back in place without me even realizing what he was doing. He didn't say, I'm going to snap it back in. He just kept the conversation going. Then he snapped my shoulder back in place. But when he snapped my shoulder back in place, all the pain went away. Now, I was still in pain, which I would feel later. But in the present moment, I was able to get back in the game. I came to tell somebody this morning that your timeline, your dream, your purpose even might feel like it's dislocated, broken, and shattered. But it's only dislocated. It is not shattered. It is not destroyed. And the Holy Spirit is about to snap it back in place so you can get back in the game. The game is the moment you're in right now. The decisions you're about to make, the things you're about to do, the achievements you're about to accomplish. It's right now, this present moment. And though you're hurting, I want your heart to be full of hope, of this confident expectation, of this favorable position. And though things feel like it's dislocated, the Holy Spirit is about to snap it back in place. Dislocation is the beginning of the pattern of hope. But what's more difficult than the dislocation is the disappointment. Disappointment is harder than dislocation. Because disappointment has to do with time. They say time heals all wounds. But when you're disappointed, you're displeased because someone or something has failed to fulfill your hopes or your expectations. Disappointment is part of the pattern of hope. Dislocation is the beginning of that pattern. Disappointment is the next step in that pattern. But after the disappointment comes destiny, comes the place and the time and the moment to which where you're trying to get to, the place that you've hoped for. The reason why you held that confident expectation. And when I say pattern, I need you to understand that the God that we serve is a God of pattern. it's a form. It's a way of doing things. And I want you to understand that God has a way of doing things. He showed you this pattern in Genesis 1 when he starts his story. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth, and then the earth was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Dislocated, disappointed, then destiny comes. It is a pattern of wisdom, but it's also a pattern of hope. And I just want to talk to you about the pattern of hope. The pattern of wisdom suggests that God can create something, then allow something to happen to it, and then create something new from what happened. You didn't hear what I just said. Oh, God. That means he can have the cosmos. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, and then the earth was void. Doesn't even tell you what happened to it. It's just void, darkness upon the face of the deep. Everything that he created collapsed, and from the collapse and from the chaos, he began to recreate. because that's the pattern of wisdom. But the pattern of hope requires us to deal with this concept called dislocation and disappointment. And when you are dealing with dislocation and disappointment, in between the two must be your supplication, must be your prayer. I know that sounds antithetical to anything that you ought to be doing, because if I'm dislocated, if my life is out of joint and things are out of whack, and if I'm facing disappointment, why in the world should I be praying? It's because that's where you learn about your confident expectation. That's where you learn about your favorable position. It's when you throw your head back with tears in your eyes and you cry, help. It's when you're being stoned and being left for dead and being shipwrecked where you cry out, help. It's where you learn that after every shipwreck, there's another ship. My God, I feel like preaching. That after every downturn in your life, there's an upside to it. It's where you discover that God hasn't gone anywhere, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But it starts out with saying, help. It starts out with calling out for help because you don't have any other words to anchor you in that moment. That as you're crying out for help, it seems like nothing is happening, but I'm here to tell somebody, yes, it is. Oh, Lord, have mercy. When we call out for help, we become bound to God in a powerful way. And we're bound to him through not our strengths, but our weaknesses. This is how Paul could come to the conclusion, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He couldn't come to that place unless he was put into a position of weakness. And yet and still, it didn't take him out. When he was being stoned and being left for dead and people wanted to assassinate him and it felt like he was all over the place and he was having arguments even with the people that was in his inner circle. And when folk abandoned him as Mark did, Lord have mercy, he still kept his focus on where God was calling him to go. You become bound to God when you cry out help, and you become bound to him through your needs and through your weaknesses and your unfulfilled hopes and dreams and all of your anxieties and your problems, that everything that's coming through, just as much as we're bound to him through our joys and our triumphs and our successes and our strengths. It's when we cry out help that we really understand where our help comes from. I look towards the hills from which cometh my help. The hills is not where the help is coming from. The hills is where the problems are, which is why David said, I look towards the hills. Question, where is my help going to come from? Because I'm surrounded by all of these problems. And then he comes to understand by being surrounded with all the problems that my help comes from the Lord. Watch me now. The maker of heaven and earth. Lord have mercy. This is why you can never really have a bad day, because you didn't make the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's why God told the children of Israel through Jeremiah that if you can break my covenant with the day, I'll change my mind. You can't break God's covenant with the day. You're going to have 24 hours tomorrow. I don't care how bad it is. You still got 24 hours tomorrow, and you're going to have 24 hours the next day. You see, anxieties, worries, and fears, they can gray your sky. They can keep a gray cloud over you, and that cloud can descend over your entire horizon like fog. And it's only because you haven't learned how to rename your anxieties. You can rename everything you're worried about. If you learn how to rename what your problems are, I look towards the hills and I can see there's debt up there. There's disease up there. There's death up there. I can look toward the hills and see there's resentment and anger and trauma. I can look toward the hills and see there's failure and there are words that people spoke over my life. But I am about to rename everything I see on that hill, and I'm going to do it through my cry out to God for help and through my prayer and supplication and request to him. I'm going to rename my anxieties. Paul said it this way. He said, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. When he told us to pray that way, And to come to God with this thanksgiving and with this type of prayer requests, he's teaching us how to rename our anxieties. And he gives us the ability to distill them into request. And now what covered the whole sky can now be contained in a couple of buckets. Oh, you didn't hear me. What used to cloud your whole world is now just put in a few buckets. So when you're dealing with the pain of disappointment and dislocation, you can simply begin to hold the word help before God. And that one word brings you into focus. It brings into focus the chaos that's racing through your mind. And once you feel that your mind has dropped out of that frantic state and into connection with God, then you can let the word help, which is general in its tone, let it go. And in its place, you can put hope. You didn't hear me. You start off crying for help, but through your prayer and your supplication, your help turns to hope. I hope I'm helping somebody. When you let help go and in its place hold the more specific word of hope, you condense the cloud of vague anxiety into a bucket of substantial requests. And in that substantial request, that's how you get guidance before God. And it comes with patience, and it comes with courage, and it comes with resilience, and it comes with boundaries, and it comes with mercy, and it comes with compassion, and it comes with determination. It comes with calm. It comes with freedom. It comes with wisdom. But most of all, it comes with peace. And peace, peace that transcends all understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But I can't just leave you with the anxiety. I got to talk about the hurts, because as the hurts come, you know you've been dislocated. When my shoulder was out of place, I knew it was out of place. I still played, but I knew that sucker wasn't right. And we lost the game. And I was disappointed. And you're facing disappointments right now. You see, along with the anxiety, along with the hurts, we also bring into our dislocation our disappointments. Disappointments are different from anxieties. They're different from our hurts. Anxieties deal on what might happen. Hurts focused on what happened. But disappointments focuses on what has not happened yet. Disappointment is a hard thing to overcome because it reveals your feelings. It reveals what's really going on in your heart. Can I help you to understand your feelings for a second? Your feelings are not facts. Your feelings are breadcrumbs. They are clues that lead you somewhere. But if you hold on to your feelings as facts, then you will make decisions based on how you feel rather than basing a decision on what you know. Lord have mercy. And so when you deal with disappointment, disappointment focuses on what has not happened. And as your feelings get revealed based on what hasn't happened yet, you have to acknowledge your disappointment. And the way you acknowledge your disappointment is by naming it. And if you don't name it, you'll blame your disappointment on God. And you'll alienate yourself from the best hope that you have of being strengthened and comforted. So whether you're dealing with anxieties or wounds or disappointments or other things and you're struggling, there's an enormous power in a simple word. A word by which we name our pain and then translate it into the request of God. And that word is called hope. Hope. You started off crying for help, and now you're talking about hope. Oh, God. Help, yes, is the door into the vital practice of petition. Help led you to petition, but hope is going to lead you to purpose. Hope has this pattern. And this pattern is going to cause you to practice, oh God, what you are expecting, regardless of the pain and regardless of the timeline and regardless of what happened and regardless of who did what, you're still practicing your expectation. Regardless of where you are, you're still ministering to the saints in Jerusalem. As Paul said, regardless of what's taking place and regardless of where you didn't get to go, you're still practicing. You're still going after it. Don't you stop practicing. Don't you stop preparing. Don't you stop getting ready for where God said that you're about to go. I know you've suffered some dislocation, and I know you've dealt with a whole lot of disappointment, but I'm here to tell somebody that your destiny is still assured. Your destination is still intact. It's not going anywhere. And when you get there, you will get there. It might not be the way you preferred, but you're going to get there. Paul never made it to Spain. Oh, glory to God. But he made it to Rome. He never made it to where he wanted to go. But he made it to Rome. Oh, can I talk to somebody? He never made it to the place that he longed for, but he made it to Rome. And when he made it to Rome, he didn't make it to Rome the way he preferred. He made it to Rome as a prisoner. He didn't make it to Rome as the great apostle Paul. He didn't come that until after the fact. He made it to Rome as a prisoner. He didn't make it to Rome in prestige. He made it as a prisoner. But as a prisoner, he still got his purpose fulfilled. Can I help somebody out right now? I don't care what has tried to shackle you, it still can't stop your purpose. I don't care what has you bound, it still cannot stop your purpose. I don't care what you have been afraid of, what you have feared, what you have carried around with you all this time, it still cannot stop your purpose. Because your purpose is not static, it's always moving, it's always dynamic. And Paul gets to Rome as a prisoner. And there they give him the space and the place to write most of his letters that we get to read today. Oh, you don't hear me. The pattern of hope takes him through dislocation to disappointment to destiny. And if you find yourself looking at a disappointment, It is a prophetic indicator that if you don't give up your hope, you're going to make it to your destiny. If I can just talk to somebody right now that might have tuned me out along the way because I was talking about Paul. You had no idea what I was talking about. I'm using Paul to talk about you. I'm using a man who started out practicing to be one thing and became another. I'm talking about a man who had many missionary journeys and had many things that he wanted to accomplish and didn't get to do those, but he accomplished everything that God had him to do. And he left everything empty that was related to his purpose in the earth. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He wasn't an eloquent preacher, but he was a prolific writer. And God used everything that he had, every gift and every talent to have an impact that still lives on today. And I came to tell somebody that if you would get your mind off of what somebody else is doing and how far headlong they are away from you, that God still has purpose and destiny for your life. And every gift and every talent and everything that he dropped down on the inside of you can still get accomplished and be manifested in the earth simply if you don't give up hope. Don't you give up on your hope, because hope has a pattern. And that confident expectation is going to lead you to your destination. You're going to get there. You're going to get there. And I just came to encourage somebody today to tell you, you're going to make it, because hope has a pattern. And if you face dislocation that has caused you to be displaced and you had to move and you had to start another job and you had to start all over again and you're disappointed because of the dislocation and you feel set out of time, that's what disappointment is. You feel like your time is up and time has been lost. I'm here to tell you that God is going to get you there, and he's going to get you there right on time. You're not out of time and you're not out of options. You're going to make it. You're going to get there, because hope has a pattern. Don't you lose hope. The only way you can lose hope is to stop expecting. The only way you can lose hope is to stop believing. The only way you can lose hope is if you stop believing that God loves you. He loves you. Despite anything you've ever done or whatever you face or whatever you've gone through, don't you give up hope now. Don't you stop believing now. You're going to get there. The hindrances don't matter. The barriers don't matter. Your feelings don't matter. You're going to get there. Just keep practicing. Just keep going. Just keep believing, because hope has a pattern. I pray that this word encouraged you. I pray that it blessed you. I pray that it prompted you to keep believing in the God that we serve. That he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and that he'll be with you to the very end. And that he's guiding you step by step. Your steps are ordered. Ordered steps were never designed to be sequential steps. And so they can happen out of step. So if you've made mistakes and if you've had setbacks and if you feel like you're going 3 steps back, it's okay, because it can still happen. There's still a destination out there for you. Wherever that is, wherever it is, God is going to get you there. And if it has anything to do with his covenant purpose, he is going to get you there. I pray that you're blessed by this word and encouraged by that word. That's all I wanted to do, was encourage you. And I pray that the Spirit of the living God condenses every dark cloud over your mind and over your heart. And then if all you can do is say, God, help, that help would turn into hope. And from that position, you'll begin to believe that all things are possible to him that believes. That you'll believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of you. That you believe you're going to make it. You are going to get there. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. My God, would you just consider being a blessing to this ministry and sow a seed, a gift to us to be able to continue to help to impact the lives of those who are in need, who need help. We want to keep doing it. As we recover and as we rebound all throughout our community and all throughout this country, a lot of people are in need of help. And with your gift, your seed, we're going to be able to do that, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to help the least of these. That's our intention, and that's what we love to do. Thank you for all of your sowing and all of your giving, but we need you to continue to do it. And as you do so, we know that God's going to give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men shall find you and give back to your pocket. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you and his blood cover you from now into eternity in Jesus' name. If you're giving today, text GIVE KLC to 73256. Or go online and click the donate button. Download our church app. You can give on that platform, or you can mail it right into the ministry. God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you next week.